In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good afternoon. It's good to see some of your faces again. I haven't seen you in a while. Good to have some visitors who are around. Just a few things that we want to bring up to you that are in need as far as announcements here. One thing that is needed for our parish here, I was told earlier this week that the person who was coming to help us make sure that our church here was well cleaned and well taken care of is unable to continue on with that anymore because of various things that are going on in their lives. So that's on us. That's on us to make sure that God's house is taken care of here, that the place is nice and clean for the Lord as a good ministry, as a good service. And so I'm going to ask you, just as Father Senna asked before me and before that, how I asked so many years ago, 4 years ago, the same question, who among us has that generosity of soul to be able to make sure that God's house is well maintained and kept clean? I'm going to be waiting on the Lord to move your hearts as I pray for you in that. I know it's not too much, but it is something that's very important to us to be able to have. So if you could give a call to me or to the office, my number's in the bulletin, it's there, it's very clear, we can talk about that. Pray about it. Pray about our Lord and his call for you. Another thing that I want to mention to you is just like I did last week on the week of the 29th, so that's not this week, the next week. In Santa Rosa, we have a Bible camp where the young ones can come and learn more about the Lord and do great activities and come back with things, just like we've had even here before in former times. Sister Ann is going to be back tomorrow in Santa Rosa, and she could answer any questions that you might have on it. Just call the office over there in Santa Rosa. But it'll be a great opportunity for grades 2 through 5. So if you've got any kids, grandkids, nieces, or nephews in that area, go. It's only a 45-minute drive. It took me 44 minutes to drive that today. And I just go speed limit. I just set it to there. So you can do that in the morning. I think it starts at 8 o'clock and it goes until about noon. But we'll give you more information on that if you just talk to me, or you can call up there and I can get you more information. It's a great joy for me to hear your voices again, reading the Word of God. I've missed those voices so much. So thank you. Let's see what our Lord has to say. Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. Only one thing is necessary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now I'm going to repeat that scripture over and over again over the course of our time here in the homily. I'm going to say it over and over again. The reason being is because I want it to be lodged in your minds. I want it to be kind of like an earworm that gets stuck there and just keeps repeating and repeating over and over again, because I think that's what our Lord wants us to come and focus on here today as a community. I'm not going to touch very much on that second reading, only for a slight little bit on the end, the reading that Margarita gave for us. It's an important reading, because what's going on there is something that a lot of people found for centuries and centuries incredibly controversial. What does it say there? It says in that second reading, it is necessary for us to fill up with that which is lacking in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We go, well, what's lacking in the sufferings of Jesus Christ? He gave it all. He poured it all out. He accomplished our salvation in that moment. What do I need to do to fill up that which is lacking in my own body? Let me tell you what the commentators say. The fathers of the church, they point to the scripture passage and they remind us of something that we all know to be true within our own lives. They point to us and they say, look, Jesus in his own sacred flesh did everything that was necessary for us in his body so that we could attain to salvation. And so who are we? We're members of that same body. And so our Lord grants us the privilege of being able to suffer. He doesn't want to keep his suffering only for himself, but invites us to fill up so that he can suffer in each of his members, which is you and me, all of us who are here. He invites us into suffering. It's an invitation to share in what it is, because we focus on this during Lent, we focus on this during Easter time. We're reminded that we are incorporated into Christ through baptism. And that incorporation into Christ allows us the opportunity to be one with his body. So as we die with Christ, so that we can also rise with Christ, as we suffer with Christ, we can also share in the glory of his resurrection. We know what that is, the glory of suffering with Christ. It says in the scripture, St. Paul makes it clear, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor it has even dawned upon the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's what our Lord shares and has in store for us when we allow ourselves to suffer not apart from Christ, but with Christ, as members of his one body, we make up what which is lacking in our own bodies. You know, a few months ago, you may know of a woman in Santa Rosa, her name is Yvette Griego. And she convinced me a few months ago to be able to, she convinced me to lead a pilgrimage to Israel, to the Holy Land. And so on August 30th through September 9th next year, not this year, I'm going to be doing that. If you want to know more about it, you can. We'll make sure that there's things here. I know they were running it in the bulletin there in Santa Rosa for a little bit. A lot of people have been talking about it, and they ask me, Father, well, look, it says there in your little letter that you wrote there that you've been there before, that you spent weeks preparing for priesthood there. What was it like? What was it like to be those places? What was your favorite part there? It's just like when so many of you have asked me, and so many people continue to do, hey, you spent 4 years in Rome studying in the seminary. What was it like? What was your favorite experience of being able to be there in the center of the church? The answer that I give, I can talk to you about all the places that I've seen, how amazing it was to, you know, walk in those places where Scripture just comes alive, or to be in those places that are so rich in history, every step you take has something historical related to it. To saunter in those same places where kings and queens once walked, where great saints and great sinners once passed their time, to see those places where victorious armies triumphantly came in and also decimated armies came back in shame. But to be honest, if I were to talk to you about my favorite part about being in those places, you'd probably never guess what it is. Probably wouldn't guess it. Because in Rome and in Israel, that's a place where I learned to pray. You see, it was great going to all these places, but travel and busyness are never things that I look forward to. When I'd go out there, it was great to be in a place where there was a shrine that we'd arrive at. Or there was a place where Our Lady appeared, and to meditate on her readings that were there, this miraculous sight where something incredible happened. It was great to be there. But when I got there, the only thing that I ever wanted to do was just sit and be alone in silence and talk to God about what happened there, but what he also wants to do with me. See, before my time when I went to Rome and did all these great things, my prayer, when I'd spend time with God, it was just like bringing to him a whole list of things. I bring him, here are my concerns, here are my anxieties, here are my fears, here are my sorrows, my stresses, and I just lay them before him one after another after another. But that all changed when I went to Italy for that first time. Luke chapter 10 says, Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, you are anxious and worried about so many things, when only one thing is necessary. Between 2010 and 2014, that's the time that I spent in Rome, those 4 years. I lost a lot of things. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have any communication with my family back home. You know, there was only one time in that 4 year span that I went down and saw a movie in a theater. It's called Der Hobbit. It was The Hobbit, but with German subtitles that were down there. In fact, I didn't even discover where the movie theater was in Rome until my last year there and still never walked inside. I couldn't go home for 2 years to see my family for any reason. I was away from my family and friends. I lost contact with so many people. It took me a long time to learn the language, to be able to converse with those who I'd be there on the street even slightly. And I was deprived of so many of the things that you and I rely on in our lives for entertainment, for escape, because they were avenues that weren't open to me. In one way, it was a really painful experience for me to be able to do there, but it was actually the greatest grace that I ever could have received. Why is that? It's because that deprivation, not having all those things, really allowed me an opportunity to engage with God in prayer. I really had to learn in those times of silence to be able to wrestle with God, to learn to listen to God in a way that I'd never been able to listen to him before while I was still here in the U.S. To ask God all those questions that I really needed to ask him, but I never really made the time to do while I was still here. So what I'd do every week. Every week in Rome, I lived a 7-minute walk down the hill from St. Peter's, the great basilica. So every week I'd walk in there, I'd find a way to be able to navigate beyond security, pretending like I was somebody important so that I wouldn't have to be stopped and go through security. So I'd sneak into St. Peter's and go immediately over to the place on the other side where the confessions were being heard. I had my confession. Then I would go back and loop back and go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, pull back this big, heavy curtain that was there, and just peer into there with the beauty, God present there in the Eucharist, but also that great art, just like our own church is full of beauty, but something so much greater. And then after spending some time there with the Lord, I'd come back out, and then I'd go up to the very main altar there, that great, beautiful baldacchino built by Bernini with those curving sort of columns that are there. And I'd kneel right there on the floor in that confessio where the bones of St. Peter are. And I'd pray the creed and then pray for the Pope, Pope Francis, Pope Benedict. And then I'd go over to the other side to marvel at my favorite image there. You've seen me bring it here in this church long ago, the Transfiguration, this beautiful mosaic that is gargantuan, bigger than this church is. And I just marvel at what God revealed in that scripture passage and the beauty that evoked me to want to be with God, who was transfigured there. When I did that, I felt at home in silence with God. When I was in Israel, the favorite thing for me to be able to do, those times that I had there, were to just walk by the Sea of Galilee, to go to this particular place that is known to be where the Jesus cave is, and just to sit there and pray and meditate. Same place where Jesus used to sit and pray and look over the sea. To go to that place where Simon Peter was first called to follow Jesus in that great moment, which is the exact same place where at the end of the gospel, Jesus gives Peter a time to remember that he denied him 3 times, but also where he gave him 3 times to renew his love for him. I love to go to that place in Jerusalem where Jesus actually had his tomb, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and there I was locked in overnight, not able to leave in any way. They don't let you sleep. To spend the whole night walking around, standing in prayer. I got to spend an entire hour lying on that same slab that Jesus laid and was resurrected, and to meditate on that mystery. All these moments were silence. My greatest moments were moments of prayer, being alone with God. Luke chapter 10 says, Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, why are you anxious and worried about so many things when only one thing is necessary? In 2002, I had passed 2 years there present. I got the opportunity to be able to lead 70 young teens on their World Youth Day pilgrimage. They came from Albuquerque. They actually came from the same Albuquerque parish that I grew up in, so I knew them. I knew their families. I taught many of them through confirmation classes that they were there. I knew them well, and I was leading them through Italy and Spain for 2 weeks. They and their adults were full of energy and excitement. We got very little sleep in the time that we were there, and we were moved around a lot. There was so much busyness that was going on in the places we had to go and see. But I remember the day when I walked them into St. Peter's for that first time. When I walked them there, I showed them first that adoration chapel as I pulled back that heavy veil and showed them the beauty of God present there. And how I'd lead them over and point to, that's the exact confessional that I go to every single week right there. And then I'd show them that confessio of St. Peter, where his bones were, the beauty that is there. And we all as a group knelt down in front of that basilica and prayed the creed, prayed for the Pope, Pope Benedict. And then we went over and saw that beautiful mosaic of the Transfiguration that was over there and marveled as I explained all the little details and the graces that God had given me while I was there. And I remember, especially as I opened that veil for adoration so early in the morning, when I opened that veil for them to see there, I remember turning to God and I asked a prayer. I said, God, I remember asking him, I said, God, do in them, these ones who are like my little children, what you did for me here. God, help these little ones learn to pray. We spent a lot of time in silence, a lot of time in silence there. And it was like for 2 weeks, the 2 weeks that they journeyed with me there, stripped of everything of their daily lives. It was just like when I first went to Rome for the first time. They didn't have Wi-Fi. Their cell phones didn't work. Some of them didn't even know each other because they were just sort of thrown together in a group. None of them spoke the language. They all just had to think about those things that they didn't normally think about. All they had in those moments of silence where we went and prayed, they just had a Bible. They just had a journal and their thoughts. But most importantly, they brought their anxieties and their fears. Teens have a lot of anxieties and fears, just like you and I do. And in those prayer times, these teen pilgrims had the space, they had the freedom to ask all those questions that we almost never give ourselves the opportunity to ask. The only questions that are important to think about. Like the question of, well, what's the meaning of life? Why is there pain and suffering? Why is there death? Why is my mom or my grandma suffering back home? Why did my daughter, my sister, my friend have to die so young when I wasn't ready for it? What do you want me to do with my life? Is there any purpose to anything that this is? Is my life really worth living? Should I just give up? God, are you really real? They ask questions like this over and over again. In Luke 10, it says, Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, you are anxious and worried about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. What does any of this have to do with us? When I think about this gospel, I think about two quotes of two very wise men that they shared, and they should say different but similar things. First quote. A wise man said, the most frightening thing for a man is to sit alone in a room with nothing but his thoughts. Why? He goes on to say. He says, because then he or she really has to think about his or her life. What am I doing? Where am I going? What's this all about? And so to prevent ourselves from having to go there, we surround ourselves with countless distractions and amusements so that we don't have to think. That's a really foolish way to live, isn't it? It's kind of like that ostrich who plunges his head into the sand when there's a lion prowling around, thinking that that somehow fixes the situation. Second quote. A wise man said, if I could just prescribe one remedy for all the ills facing the modern world, it would be silence. Because even if the word of God was preached, no one would listen to it, because there's too much noise. So we have to create a space for silence. In Luke 10, Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, just listening to him speak. Martha, you are anxious and worried about so many things when only one thing is necessary. Make no mistake, everybody here in the pews, everybody here in the sanctuary, we're all afraid. We all are anxious today as we come to Mass. We're all in the same boat together. You know what? Today, right before Mass started, as I was getting ready to go into that confessional, somebody who I'd met a few weeks ago sent me a little text message and said, hey, I'm this person that you met there at that funeral a few weeks ago. I want to update you on my friend that you were praying for that was suffering in this way. Here's how her surgery has gone and what's going on in her life. Yesterday, as I was getting ready, I was visiting with Miguel, the oldest man in Fort Sumner, one of our parishioners that just passed away. When I was meeting with him, another person called and said, Father, will you please just do something? Pray for this person who I know, this elderly woman who's struggling because she doesn't know what to do. Is she supposed to take the surgery or is she not? I called her up and was on the phone with her for about an hour and a half last night, helping her to understand whether she needed to or not. The day before that, on Friday, there was a couple who spent about 2 hours with me in my office, and they were saying, look, Father, I've gone through so many cancer treatments, and this is what's been going on in my life. Father, when do I say no? When do I just give up because there's so much of it? How much longer do I have to keep doing this? The day before that, on Thursday, as I was away, there was a bunch of deacons who were preparing for the diaconate. They called me, and they said, Father, look, today is the day when they're either going to tell me I'm out of the program or I get to continue, and I'm anxious about this. I want to be a deacon, but I don't know if they want me. Wednesday, I was walking into the hospital, and I was going there to visit somebody else, but there happened to be a 10-year-old baby who was there. They called me over to this little 10-year-old baby, Jaylani, and her whole family was there gathered around her. They were afraid for her because she can't both breathe and eat at the same time. And so she was in dire straits, prayed with her. They had to send her off to Albuquerque to get more help. Everybody here is anxious and afraid. Some of us today are here anxious about our marriages, wondering, is it going to last? Are we going to make it through this difficulty that's going on, or our kids? Or am I going to be able to find good work after a situation that's gone on in my life? We're wondering, will I ever have my health back again? Or is it just going to be this thing breaks, that thing breaks, the next thing breaks? Why can't I get my kid or my nephew or my brother to give up his drug habit? Why can't they come back to Mass? Why can't I get this one baptized? Why can't that person, when are they really going to get married for real in the church? Just had a beautiful marriage in this church last night. You see, it doesn't do any good for us to pretend that we're not anxious or to pretend like we're not afraid, to put on a face so everybody thinks that everything's going well in our lives. That doesn't help anything. The only thing that we need to ask, and the thing that's most necessary for us to do, is to ask the question, well, is there anybody who cares? You ask that question? See, the Catholic message, the message that we hold on to as Catholics, is that somebody does. And that somebody is the only somebody that matters. The most important somebody. You see, you can't fake trust. You and I, we can't fake it. Either you know that your life is in God's hands, or you don't. Either you know that God is your Father, or you don't. Either you and I know that God loves us, that we are his children, that God has a plan and it's for our good, or that he can handle whatever it is in our lives, or we don't. God wants us to have that confidence when we approach him every single day, not just on Sundays. God wants to give us that grace, the same grace that he gave his dear friend Mary of Bethany as she sat at his feet, so that we can sit there and listen to him, so that we can be able to hear his voice in our lives, so that we can hear him address us by name, where he says, Anna, it's going to be all right. David, I've got that. Say, Dolores, you can just relax. I know where this is going. What can we do now? I want us to try this experiment. Especially for those of you who don't regularly put aside time to crowd out all the distractions of your life and to sit at the feet of Jesus just like Mary did. Something very simple for us to do. This week, try to do everything it is that you can to just spend 15 minutes. That's it. Quarter of an hour. In silence. In silence with the Lord. Not to do nothing. but to listen. To actually listen to the Lord. All you got to do is bring your Bible. That way you got something to begin your meditation with. Stick with the New Testament if you're not used to it. Then have your journal there next to you as a little scratch pad so you can write down inspirations that come to you in the moment. Or if God says something to you, you can write it down because that's something you're going to want to take to your prayer later. Encouragement that you're going to need for later. Bring your fears. Bring your anxieties and just lay them down at the feet of Jesus as you're there in his presence. Don't bring a list of things, concerns, and just rattle them off to him. God already knows those things. He knows them better than you do. Cares for them more than you do. Just to sit there and be in his presence. The Lord just wants to give you his peace. He wants you to hear him say, I'm your Father. He wants to give you the space so that Jesus can turn to you and listen to you so you can hear him telling you that he's taken care of everything already. He wants us just to hear his voice, reminding us again and again that our lives are safe and secure with him. We don't got to worry about anything else. Not because we're not going to suffer anymore. That second reading there that Margarita gave for us says you are indeed going to suffer. But it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right because he is going to be with us no matter what, to whatever end may come. Luke 10. Mary sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, you are anxious and worried about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. This week, 15 minutes, silence, listening to the voice of Jesus. What's the payoff? Peace. Like you've never known before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.